In the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again." Since the beginning of the pen, writers have used winter as a metaphor for death, and spring for new life. Right now, we are in a literal winter here in Alaska. Everything is frozen. The ground is frozen. The trees are frozen. There's snow everywhere. There are no bugs. There's no laughter of kids playing outside. There's no warmth on my skin, just cold, just silence, just frozen death. Not only are we in a literal winter, it is starting to feel like the coronavirus is bringing about a figurative winter as well. Outside, there is silence. No kids are playing. People are locked away in their homes. There is fear that is surrounding the entire world like air with no warmth. It's becoming hard to imagine spring in this winter. But I want you to know. I want you to be fully aware that spring is indeed coming. Life will soon begin to bloom. Warmth will return to the air. Laughter will be heard in the park. Schools will be filled with students again. Shopping centers will be filled with shoppers, greeting one another, shaking hands, hugging, laughing. Churches will again be filled with congregants. That day is coming when fear will be a distant memory. We are in a series simply titled, "Who is Jesus and Why Does It Matter?" And when we started this series, we had no idea, I think, that it was going to become so crucial to understanding who Jesus is in this season of life as it has become with all the world's events that have happened. Our first sermon in this was the I am statement of I am the bread of the world, of Jesus saying, and our big idea there was Christ is enough. Man, how important is that truth right now in what's going on in the world, that Christ is enough when there's a pandemic that's threatening us. Christ is enough when everything is great, but Christ is enough in the winter just as much as in the spring. The second one was, I am the light of the world. And our big idea there was light is greater than darkness. Right now, our world seems consumed with this darkness, but Christ will have the final word. And Christ, the light of Christ, will drive out the darkness in our world. The third sermon that we did was, I am the gate of the sheep. And we talked about how Jesus is the only way to the Father. There is no shortcut. There is no other way. There's no mystery, really. Jesus is the only way. The only way. There can be no other way. And last week, Pastor Mike did a sermon on I am the good shepherd, and talking about how he is the one who cares for us. He is the one who leads us beside still waters. He is the good shepherd, and we can trust in him. And today we're going to be in John chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to John chapter 11. If you don't, we're going to have the text on the screen for you to follow along there as well. But we're going to be looking at this I am statement of I am the resurrection and the life. Before we get to the word, let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the seasons that you show us truths about this world, truths about you, and even in the seasons. While it might be winter now, God, spring is coming. While it might be darkness now, light is coming, and light will have the final word. God, as people are watching this sermon at homes with their families, alone, however it might be, God, I just pray your Holy Spirit will help every one of us take a step closer to you. God, I pray that during this season that you will use the time in houses of quarantine to build up families, to help people take that step closer to you and closer together as well. God, we just thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. As you could probably hear, there are ravens flying all over. Not much I can do about that. That's what happens when we're filming outside. We didn't want to film in a studio today. Wanted to talk to you right outside my home here in Alaska, just to give you something a little bit different to look at today. So please be patient with that. In the section of scripture we're about to read here in John 11, Jesus is moving. There's this kind of a pivot point in the Gospel of John. The first 10 chapters are Jesus' public ministry. And the 11 on, it really his final days leading up to his death on the cross, where he's really spending his time focusing on ministering and discipling his disciples. And that's where we're at today in John chapter 11. And I'm going to go ahead and read the first 8 verses. So read with me if you would. John 11, verse 1 through 8. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet and her hair with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? I want you to notice in the section of text that we just read, that our first point for today, and that is this, that Jesus sets the stage for the miraculous. Notice that Jesus intentionally waited for Lazarus to die. This is something that it seems kind of strange that he would do. In fact, the text says that once he heard about Lazarus's illness, he waited 2 more days in the place where he was at before he even began to head back to Lazarus so he could step in. And, you know, it begs the question, why? Why didn't just Jesus go back right away and heal Lazarus and help him to avoid the going through the physical death that he was going to have to go do again later in his life? Lazarus isn't still dead or still alive today. He ended up dying. So why did he allow Lazarus to die physically? Well, the answer is right here in our text. It is for the glory of God. He allowed Lazarus to go through this difficult time, his whole family in their mourning. He allowed him to start decomposing even. Why did he do that? It was for the glory of God. You see, this is a bigger thing. This is a bigger world that we live in than just us. This isn't about us. This is about God and his glory. Now we have promises that, and Lazarus had promises that God does love us and love him and wanted good things for him. But this is ultimately about God and his glory. Not only is it glorifying to God, but what happened here, but it was undoubtedly, once Jesus performs this miracle later in our text, it was undoubtedly he built the faith of the disciples who are there, and frankly, for everybody since then. History records some of these events that Jesus does outside of the Bible. So we can look with confidence at the word of God and say, you know what? This really happened. This was a time and place where a man was dead. He was in a tomb for 4 days, and Jesus brought him back to life. So why does God do it? Well, Jesus do it? He does it for a couple reasons. The main one is for the glory of God, but in that, he does it so he can build our faith as well. So when things are difficult, when things aren't going the way we would hope them to go, we can know, you know what? Even in this time, even in this season, God is there. He knows what's going on. He can and will intervene when the time is appropriate for his glory and for our good. As we're processing the current events right now, obviously this coronavirus thing going on, we need to be anticipating that God is up to something, that he's not just up in heaven going, oh my goodness, I didn't see this coming. What am I going to do now? He knew about the coronavirus long before we did. He knew about the fear and the panic that was going to be in streets and in homes and illnesses that were going to come into nursing homes and all the rest. Why is he allowing it to happen? Well, ultimately, I think God, and even in these situations, these difficult times, that ultimately God will end up being glorified and it can be used for our good. But we need to have an eternal perspective when we're looking at the current events, realizing that this world we're living in is a temporary one. Our lives are like a wave in the ocean, a blink of an eye. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. However, we were created with eternal purpose. We were created for bigger and better things. So we need to make sure that we don't get bogged down in the temporary current events. We need to be looking for God, looking for ways he's going to be interjecting and interacting with what's going on, because it's going to be for his glory and for our good, just like we see here in the story of Lazarus. Our second point that we're going to look at this morning in the next section of, the next section of scripture is found in verses 17 through 27. So join me if you would, in reading that. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. So our second point is this. Jesus shows up in a hopeless situation. Notice that Lazarus in the text that says he had been in the tomb for 4 days when Jesus enters the scene. 4 days. Martha and Mary, they're just at the end of themselves. They just know that Lazarus is now gone. The situation is hopeless. Their only hope really at that point was that Jesus would raise him up on the day, on the last day and the resurrection. Martha says, Jesus, had if you had been there, you could have done something to save my brother. And then enters Jesus in this incredible statement of, I am the resurrection and the life, saying that not just on that last day, but even today, Jesus is claiming deity, saying, I am the resurrection and the life, and I can do anything even right now. And he wasn't going to have to wait till the last day. Christ has the power, friends, to save you today. Not just on the last day, Jesus has the power to save you today. In the midst of this storm, when all seems lost, Jesus can intervene when we put our faith in you. Just like when he asked Martha, do you believe this? Ask yourself this today. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that he has the power to save you even today? He says this, and ask yourself the same question. Whoever believes in me, though he shall die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Ask yourself, do you believe that today? Because it has eternal implication and significance. You see, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And because of that, all who follow him have hope of glory for a better tomorrow. Before we get to our point three, let's look at the next part of our text in John 11, verses 38 through 45. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away this stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. So our last point from our text this morning is this. Jesus does the impossible. He did the impossible then, and he can do the impossible today. Jesus waited long enough to ensure that there would be no question about this being a miracle. There was no faking the odor that was on Lazarus when they opened that rolled that stone away from the tomb. This is real. The people there, they all knew. You'd imagine the tears and all the things going on when Jesus has them roll that away. And then the complete, probably surprise and just unbelievable moment when Lazarus walks out of that in the midst of the stink of death that is encompassing him. Listen, Martha, this in the text it says, Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. 4 days. 4 days. Absolutely incredible. Jesus in this text also makes a very clear claim, easy for me to say, makes a very clear claim of deity. He says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe what? That you sent me. Jesus is saying, God, Father, this what's clear here is you have sent me here. So it's a claim of deity. He's making himself one with God, again, being the Son of God, claiming that Jesus had, or God had sent him to be there. And it was for the disciples and it's for us today to know that we can have faith and trust in the fact that Jesus was indeed one with God and sent by God to do his bidding. He also makes it clear that he wanted those who witnessed this to see and believe who he was. And I think that's for us today too, friends, that Jesus wants us to see who he actually is so that we have an opportunity to believe that, put our trust and our faith in him and follow him. Because on that day, on that last day, when we go from death into life, we're going to have that same opportunity to step away from a grave and be resurrected as well. And it also makes it very clear that he is able to do the impossible. Listen again. When we had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus had done the impossible. What happened there isn't, it defies logic. It just can't happen. But in Christ it can, and it did. If Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead, what can he do in your life? He can help you step from death into life as well, just like he's helped me and many other people. If you've yet to put your faith in Jesus, I'm going to urge you to do that today. In the isolation of being quarantined or whatever else is going on in your life, do that today. Put your faith in Christ. If you're already a follower of Christ, listen, remember that you are a follower of Christ. Remember that Jesus is a God who can do the impossible. As we close up today, I want you to remember that Jesus does have the power to save. He has the power to turn this winter that we're currently in into spring. As I stand here and I talk to you, I can hear the snow dripping from the trees. Soon there's going to be buds coming out on the ends of the branches. And not long after that, the snow is going to be gone. And in its place, there's going to be grass coming up out of the ground. And there are going to be animals moving around. The kids are going to be out laughing again and playing. There's going to be new life. It's coming. It's coming. Right now, it feels like we're in the grasp of winter that may never let us go. But spring is coming. New life is coming. Use this opportunity that you have right now. Grow closer to your family. Grow closer to God. The spring is coming. He won't leave us in this winter forever. Friends, I can't wait to see you again in person, but for now, we get to be united in spirit. May God bless you this week.